Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today. Well, good morning and welcome to Chicago First. We're so excited that you're here, whether you're here in the room or watching online. Thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to be able to share with you. I'm excited to have Adam here. And I'm thankful for a time that we live in with technology that the good news can still go out despite what is happening in our world. I think of at least three people I know from our C1 community that have said, hey, you know, I'm in quarantine currently, whether I'm exposed or have the virus, and so I'm going to be home for a couple weeks. Thank you for having church online. Thank you that I can still be a part of this community. I even think of my home church this morning, a tiny town in Kansas. Their pastor has COVID and he can't go to church today. And they're actually showing C1's message from 2 weeks ago. So they said, thank you, C1, for your ministry that we can still have the good news go forward during this time. So I'm thankful for the day and age that we live in and excited to share with you today. Today, I'm going to continue on in this series called Empowered. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you've missed it, you can always go online and get caught up with the different messages you may have missed. Today, if you're taking notes, I'm entitling this message, The Brand Ambassador. The Brand Ambassador. And really, the key question I want you to wrestle with today is this. Who or what are you endorsing by your words and by your life? And for me, this idea, the brand ambassador, kind of hit me last week. Last weekend, I went on a very quick hiking trip with a few buddies from college. They flew in from Kansas City. We drove up north and we decided we are going to go camping. It was amazing. It was freezing cold, but just to be kind of in the stillness and the quiet of nature, to experience God's good creation and say thank you and to be able to do that with people we love, it was absolutely amazing. And afterward, I posted a quick picture of us sitting on top of the rock and it was just like, hey, this was awesome. We went camping. It was fun. I put this on Instagram. And then something unique to me, at least, happened. Never had this happen before. Somebody sent me a message, and they were an owner of a small business that was hiking and like nature forest preservation. They run a business selling hiking gear, and for every product you buy, you get, you know, they plant a tree. And they said, hey, listen, we saw your recent picture. We looked at your profile. We would like you to be a brand ambassador for our business. And I said, really? This never happened to me before. And so I was like, this is kind of neat. Like, are you gonna send me free stuff? That was what I was honestly most excited about. And like, I would take pictures and post them and like, this is kind of neat. And they're like, well, yeah, basically like we'd view someone like you as someone who would embody our brand and our culture of our business. So you would go out and yeah, you'd take these photos and you'd basically just be an outdoorsy kind of man. And I, you know, honestly, if I can tell you the truth, it started to get to my head a little bit. And I was like, this is pretty cool, actually. And this week, I put on some blue jeans and a red flannel shirt, and I walked out of the room, and my wife goes, do you think you're a lumberjack? And I said, yes, I do, actually. And she like kind of shook her head at me because she knows I'm ridiculous. I said, I may not be a lumberjack, but I can be a suburban lumberjack, at least. I think I can do that. So we had a good time with it. My wife deflated my head a little bit by letting me know that oftentimes these small businesses do this to help spread their business, share their product. It actually happens quite a bit. You're not that special. And I was like, hey, oh, and also you can't grow a beard. So you can't be a lumberjack if you can't grow a beard. So my head was deflated, but I got caught on this idea, a brand ambassador, to embody something of that culture or the person that you are representing to the world. And immediately my mind was drawn back to the scriptures as Paul is writing to a church that meets in Corinth. He uses the same ambassadorship type language. Oh, first of all, this is what I look like. I forgot to show you that slide. This is what Paul wrote, more importantly. He walks us through. This is what the good news is. This is what our task is as followers of Jesus. And this is our message as ambassadors for God. So it says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. So then he lets us know this is our task. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. And then this is the message. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be the offering for sin, that so we could be the righteousness of God, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Paul, first of all, says, this is the good news. If you haven't heard, Jesus came to fulfill the scriptures people wrote for thousands of years. God is going to come among his people. His Messiah, his Savior, will come. Jesus is that Savior. He lived a sinless life the way that we were designed to live, loving God and loving others, not hurting people, not having to live with any guilt or shame because he was perfect. And he died and took on our sins upon himself on the cross and then carried them into the grave. But the story wasn't finished. And 3 days later, God the Father, through the power of the Spirit, raised Jesus from the dead, proving himself victorious over death, over shame, over sin, over guilt. Jesus is the author of life and now is back to life. And the resurrection of the dead that we will experience at the end of time has happened now. Jesus is in the business of making all things new. So he takes the old life that you've lived and it's done away with. And now he is giving you new life. This is the core central message of the gospel. If you're here today or you're watching online and you say, I am tired of this old life. No, Jesus has come to give you new life. The life that you were designed to experience, loving God, loving others, experiencing joy, hope, and peace. This is the good news. So Paul says, follow Jesus, experience this old life and new life now that is beginning. But if you're following Jesus, you don't just sit idly by. You are now given a task. You have something to do. And it's not just for preachers, but it's for all of us. And it's to share the message, the task of reconciling people back to God. I love this. We are Christ's ambassadors. You may not be a lumberjack. You may have a beard. I was commenting on my friend's beard over there this morning. It's wonderful. You may not embody this kind of lumberjack thing I was trying to this week, but what you do embody as a follower of Jesus is a message of love. The God of love who has come that is not counting people's sins against them is now living within you to do the same thing, to go out into the world, to not count people's sins against them, to show them the love, the same love that God has given to you, and then to share that with the world so that they can know and experience God as well. We are his ambassadors. And our message is pretty simple. Come back to God. This God who has created you, this God who knows you, who knit you together, knows everything you've ever done, still loves you. Come back. Come back into a relationship with him and experience true and abundant life. So today, what I really want to focus on is our ambassadorship, our representing Jesus. How do we as a church, how do we as Christians represent Jesus to the world? An ambassador is someone who is sent as official representation and a promoter of something. How do we promote Jesus? And I would say this, church, before we represent a political party, we're to be ambassadors for Jesus. Maybe here's a radical thought for some of us if we actually took it seriously. What if we shared our faith as much as we did our political preferences? What if we talked about the promise of life change and hope that is found in Jesus more than we talked about the promises of a politician? Could you imagine it this week? Hey, the election's coming up, who are you gonna vote for? Yeah, I'll talk to you about that, but also, can I tell you about Jesus? Maybe a hard turn in conversation. Frankly, it's probably easier to talk about Jesus than it is at politics at this time of year anyway. What if we began to do that? How do I tell people about Jesus? I wanna get practical today and hopefully have you reflect on a few things. The first is this. I think if we're gonna share this great news, this good news, this message, we need to use our words as a witness. How do you share what God has done for you in your own words? 1 Peter 3 says this, worship Christ as the Lord of your life And if someone asks you about the hope that you have as a believer, always be ready to explain it. If someone came up to you, you're in the drive-thru line getting lunch after this, and the person in the window said, "Hey, I saw you, you posted some status, you shared that church that you go to, you shared on your Facebook page that message. You go to church there, huh? Why do you go to church? Why do you follow Jesus?" What would you say in response? Scripture tells us, be ready. Be ready to explain it. Something that thought may not be something that most of us think about, and I don't want to put you on the spot this morning, but I want you to think through it so that when you are on the spot, when someone else asks you, why church? Why do you follow Jesus? You are ready to explain it. And obviously, when we explain it, we want to do this in a gentle and respectful way. As I was studying this week and I was looking at scripture and looking into different things, it just hit me. In the backdrop, in the context, because of the political season we're in, I'm forced with these words, gentleness and respect. And then I watch a debate and I think, is this gentleness and respect? I don't think so. And I began to look, I was like, okay, so if you were gonna be a brand ambassador for a political party, how do you get that word out there, right? If you wanna promote what is good about a party. And I began to do some research, and honestly, I got a little bit disheartened, if you will. I found out that if you wanted to run for president, you need about $500 million behind you to get elected. And that's not even a high number. 2012, it was $1.2 billion. To get a president elected. And in this campaign season, individuals are spending more than $100,000 not to promote the good causes they believe in, but instead just to slander and run anti-campaign TV ads about someone. That same money would give 2.5 million kids clean drinking water for life. And the more I got fed up and frustrated and needed to get off Facebook, the more I began to think about, what is it that I really want to share with people in these days? And I wrote this on my Facebook this week, but I don't want to preach about a party. Instead, personally, I want to share the power, the presence, and the person of Jesus with individuals, because I think those individuals are at a place where they need help, they need healing, and maybe above all, they need hope. And I want to give them something that is a strength for today and a bright hope for tomorrow, and that is Jesus. That is who I want to share with people. And yes, there's massive TV campaigns that go on. And if you've got an extra 100 grand laying around and you want to make a promo, massive promo marketing for Jesus, that'd be sweet. But I think the best way to share our faith with others is through one-on-one conversation with the friends that you already have, coworkers you already work with, and the neighbors that already live across the street. Think of it this way. If you see an ad somewhere, you have to see it a ton of times before you're gonna respond to it, most likely. But if someone you trust sits down with you, buys you coffee, and says, here's something that I've experienced that is great, I want you to experience it too. Man, I read this book, it was so good. Here, you need to read it too. Oh man, I tried this new coffee shop, it was great, you should come with me sometime. Man, I ate that pizza place because there's a million of them here in Chicagoland, it's a new one you've never heard of, it was amazing, you should come with me. If that's coming from a trusted source, most of us will say yes. I'm still blown away by the statistic that it says 80%, 8 out of 10 people would say yes to coming to church if they were invited by a family member, a friend, or someone that they trust. One-on-one is the best way to share our faith. And when we're using our words, I love this from 1 Corinthians 4, the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. Some of you, if I asked you today, hey, I want you to go home to your family member that doesn't know Jesus and share your faith with him, we would be incredibly terrified. I think even I would be a little bit uneasy of how do I really go about it with this person? And I think a lot of us think that we have to use like overly loaded theological language to explain everything that the Bible has and explain everything that's wrong in their life and show them Jesus. I would encourage you, please don't do that. Most people won't respond. Most people, some people will, and they love this kind of discourse and conversation. But most people, if you say, hey, listen, I believe in Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the incarnation in the Theotokos, the mother, Mary, the virgin mother of God, that he came, he lived this life, and then he died on the cross. And let me explain to you which of the 13 views of justification that I love, the 6,000 prophecies that talk about Jesus, and then talk about my eschatology, my beliefs about the end times. Let me share that with you. Most people would not respond too well. Some people do, and these things are important. We're supposed to love God with all of our heart, but we're also supposed to love him with all of our mind. So these things are good to explore and grow out in our own faith. But most people, if you sit across from them with a cup of coffee and say, this is the power of God that has changed my life. Here's what's happened for me. Man, I used to just wander around without meaning or without hope. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, I was once without God and without hope, but now I have hope. Now I know that no matter what happens in our world, no matter what happens in my life, even if I dream up a worst possible case scenario, and even if it happens, I still trust in God. I can still have peace that one day he will come and make everything right. It's already started now, but it's gonna happen one day. I have joy, I have hope, I have peace. I'm a different person living a new life because of Jesus. If we can share our personal experience, I believe that people respond to that best. And we can do this with confidence. Romans says this, I am not ashamed of this gospel. I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ, for it is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Church, we don't need to be ashamed of our message. We live in a time that if you say the wrong thing in any context in society, people will be upset with us, and that's okay. People are gonna be upset about no matter what we say. But this message is the power of God that goes out into the world changing lives. It's not something that we should be silent about. How can we stay silent when our family is headed down the wrong road? How can we stay silent when our neighbor is drowning in hopelessness? How can we stay silent when we know our coworker has an addiction? How can we stay silent when we know our friends are living without meaning and without hope? Church, may our words bear witness to the God who loves us and what he has done for us. And may that message go out into the world. Let us not be silent. Secondly, we use our words as witness, but I would say this. We can use our life to model God's love. Let me ask you a question. If you couldn't speak at all, for whatever reason, some reason, you can't talk. If you can't speak, could I simply look at your life and would your life itself point others to Jesus? If I could, this is creepy, so I'm not actually like picturing this, but I want you to picture it for yourself. If you could just look at your calendar, your bank account, where you go, what you do, who you talk to, would your lifestyle by itself point other people to Jesus? I believe that we are given this life as an opportunity even to use what we do to point others to God's love. First Peter says this, you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you do know God. Now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. You're to be chosen, to be set apart, to be different, to live like God in this world. We should live our lives differently. Makes me think of John the Baptist. He starts his ministry. He's baptizing people for the repentance of sins. He's saying, forget your sins, be baptized, receive forgiveness, turn back to God. And the Pharisees and Sadducees together, the religious people come and they're there kind of watching, scowling. What are you doing, John? And John says, you're missing the whole point of the message. If you want to believe in this, and he says these words, prove by the way that you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't give me all these words, you Pharisees and Sadducees. You say you're the kids of Abraham. That doesn't get anything here. Your tradition doesn't matter here. What you've done over the course of your life. If you say you live for God, prove it by the way that you live your life. And the same verse that we looked at just a minute ago, if someone asks you, be ready to explain it. Use your words. Do this in a gentle and respectful way. And then this verse goes on. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak out against you, they will actually be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. I think sometimes we imagine our coworkers like, do you believe that guy? He believes in Jesus, man. He's so simple. He's so simple-minded. If he understood the complexity, if he understood this, And then the other coworker responds, yeah, I mean, we can talk bad about him, but man, he sits with me and he listens to me. He asked me how my family's doing. And, you know, I heard that he serves at that organization down the street too. I actually, you know, I don't know what I believe about Jesus, but man, this guy actually is different. This guy actually loves. They will be ashamed when they talk bad about us because they will see the good life that we are living. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture from John 13, Jesus said, this is how the world should know you. This is the clothes you should wear as you are an ambassador. The world will know you are my disciples by the way that you love one another. In our world today, talk is cheap. There are way too many Facebook statuses. But if we show up for people, if we love them well, the world will take notice. Faith isn't just what we believe in our head. Sure, we are made right with God by our faith, by the declaration. But if that faith doesn't seep into our heart, into our hands, then it hasn't fully taken root in our life. When we accept by faith the good news of Jesus, it plays out in the way that we live and respond and in the way that we love others. I'm going to read to you from James chapter 2. This is it's an interesting passage. I'll put the highlights on the screen for you, not the whole thing because it's a little bit longer. But I think when James is writing this letter, he's writing to a people that is like, yes, you believe in Jesus, but that faith needs to take action in your life. You can hear some of his sarcasm. I think he's fired up about this. But it's a great message about how your faith and then the way you live your life have to work together. He says this starting in verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing and you say, well, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well, but then you don't give them any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith and others have deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there's one God. Well, good for you. Even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember our ancestor Abraham? He was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. Listen to this line. You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions actually made his faith complete. So it happened just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God. God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do and not simply by faith alone. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also is our faith dead unless we have good works. We were made to have these things go hand in hand together. During this political season, we hear lots of people say, this is where I stand on something. Here is my stance. I want to be someone who has a stand and has convictions for the right reasons, but not just in my words, but by the way that I live my life. I think about people here locally that volunteer and give and help the Hope and Friendship Center here locally, or the people that volunteer it by the hand. I believe in this, but now I'm taking action to be a part of it. People that say, yes, I am pro-life, but then also go about that in their life. They volunteer or donate to the Past Pregnancy Center or the Southside Women's Services here locally. It's not just a stance, it's what I'm also doing. I think about every week when you give here at church, we're a part of this Nazarene denomination that is doing amazing things around the world that we never hear of. Because of our giving, every week part of it we go to help local congregations to serve them with what is close to them, whether it's a storm response team, emergency relief, child sponsorship, the refugee crisis, or when we give here, 737 missionaries around the world, we help in 156 world areas. We have amazing benefits of being a part of this denomination, but maybe even more personally, more close to home. I think about T, who's in my life group, and he fixes people's appliances in his neighborhood. It's his way of showing love. I think about the young person or the retired person that gives up their free time to serve the underprivileged. I think about the friend who shows up and sits with the one who is grieving, because no words can really comfort, but God's presence in that person can. I think about the lyrics of the song we just sang as a great anthem for us. What will people say of me when I'm just a memory? Was I love when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? God, am I proof that you are who you say you are, that grace can really change a heart? And do I live like your love is true? God, when they see me, do they see you? I want to live like that. Finally today, I'd ask you just a kind of simple question. Do your words and your life match up? There's two sides of this. Our words should bear witness to who God is. Our lifestyle should be loving and show them who God is. Do they match? If we have the words but we don't have the actions, the world will see us as hypocrites. If we have the actions but we don't have the words, the world will see us as good people, but we can't give them the hope of who Jesus is. But when these things are working together, this is the good news that goes out into the world and it changes lives. People can see, know, and experience God in his love. These things are so simple, but in the Christian life, we often don't examine them and say, do I need help in how I explain this? Do I need help in how I live? Maybe I could work on that this week. And today, the big idea I want to share with you, and because I know it can be overwhelming to talk about sharing your faith, and the reason why this message is in the Empowered series is I want you to know that you are not alone in this. Scripture says that God will empower you as his witnesses to share this good news. For Max, it says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. You are not alone in this. God wants his message to go into the world. So God wants to help you as you do that. Remember that you have the Spirit of God living within you, the same one that raised Jesus from the dead, helping you share this message into the world. In Matthew 10, when Jesus is talking, he says, listen, the world is probably not going to like you if you're my followers. A student's not greater than their teacher. They called me the teacher, the prince of demons. They're probably going to call you names too. So as you live for Jesus, you might be beaten, you might be arrested, you might stand trial. But even if you do, this is a great opportunity for you to tell people about Jesus. And then he goes on and says, and when you're arrested, don't worry about what you're going to respond or what to say. And I love this. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who'll be speaking, no. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I think there's a beautiful relationship of us preparing everything we can to be able to know and be able to share our faith and the confidence to know that when we are in those moments, we're not alone. God will help us. God will give us the right words at the right time. That relationship, I would say, is summarized in this. Do everything that you can do that depends on you and depend on God in those situations to do only what he can do. Plan to love well. Be ready to explain the reason for the hope that you have. And know that God will empower you. He will speak through you. He'll put you at the right time, at the right place, around the right people. That what you say will connect with their life and maybe point them towards Jesus. My prayer for us this week as a church, that as we speak and as we live the love of Jesus, the same thing that happened in Acts 19 would happen with us. So the message about the Lord spread widely and then had a powerful effect. Today, I want to end with the same question I asked you at the beginning. Who or what are you endorsing with your life? If people know you, they know you follow Jesus. You tell them about the love of Jesus. You show them the love of Jesus by your actions. I'm learning to be a brand ambassador for the kingdom of God. Let us as a church become these brand ambassadors for the kingdom of God by our words and by the way that we love. And our friends, our family, our neighbors, and our coworkers, they need help. They need healing, and so do we. So let's tell them about the Jesus we have, the hope that we have, and the bright future that we have ahead of us. And let's do it with gentleness and respect. And remember, you are not alone in this. God wants this to happen. He will be with you. He will give you the words. Rely on his power and know his power as you share his good news. Friends, this week, may your words bear witness to God's good news. May your life be a loudspeaker of love to those around you. And today, know and trust that God will empower you to share his good news into the world. Would you pray with me? God, we are thankful for the good news. Thankful that your son, Jesus, has died and resurrected to forgive us of our sin and to give us new life. God, for those in the room and those that are watching online today that are following you, God, we say thank you that you have done away with the old life and this new life within us has already begun and we are living into it. God, for those that may be here today that are listening, that say, I need that new life. Today, if that's you, I want to encourage you, you can say yes. You can step into a relationship with God. You can start out or start over in your relationship with him. Say, God, I need this old life to go away. But more than that, God, I need to know you, my creator. I need forgiveness, but I need to experience love and embrace. I need this purpose. I need to belong to this family. God, would you forgive me? Help me to follow you, to live for you. And God, for all of us this week that are following you, give us boldness and courage. By your spirit, would you empower us to share this good news to our world, to the people across the street, the people across the cubicle, people that we run into in public. May we point them to you, Jesus, our true hope. No matter what we say, no matter what we do, may they know you because we were there with them. God, help us to live like that. Give us your spirit, give us your power, and embolden us. We love you, Jesus. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.